joining us to begin the program today, the president and CEO of Canada Basketball, Glenn Grunwald. Glenn, thanks for the time today.
Thank you guys for having me on. An exciting day for basketball in Canada.
It really is, Glenn, and maybe we can kind of walk through this a little bit, depending on how much you can tell us. How did this all come together, and why is this so important for the Canadian program?
Well, it's a lot of good people working together. You know, it starts with Bart Yabsley, who I've known since the Raptors first started out. We were both lawyers together, working on the deals for the Raptors to get going. So that's been 26 years now. And then Brian Cooper, who's one of the leading sports executives in Canada, who I've worked with since 1993. You know, we saw the need for this. There's so many good stories to tell about Canada basketball, all the players in it, all the coaches, all the backstories, that we wanted to have a real venue in which we could tell those stories and then show the games, you know, get the games on TV so fans can watch them. I know we just had two really good and exciting games down in Puerto Rico, but I don't know how many people saw them because they were not on, national broadcasters. Now this is a great opportunity for us to expose our game and our players and our teams to more fans and more people. And it's just going to continue to grow the exponential growth of the game that we're experiencing right now.
Glenn, and I was just kind of talking to Eric about it. How big is the under 22 competition? And I said, it looks like something that, you know, start small, think big, that has tremendous potential.
Yeah, it really is. It's an age group that doesn't exist in FIBA basketball right now. And it's, you know, Brian Cooper, as I mentioned before, you know, sees this as a parallel to the early days of the World Junior Hockey Championships, where the best young players that are not already in the pros, but we know there's so many good players that are still in university for both men and women. You know, we don't have the same issue with players leaving early in the women's game. But we do have a need and an opportunity for the development of these young women players and the ability to showcase them as they continue to grow and develop as basketball players and athletes. So we're excited about the opportunity. We expect to have some of the best basketball countries in the world playing games here in Toronto every year. And we see it as, you know, starting out and growing. And it's going to be, I think, a must-see event that's going to happen in Toronto every year.
Speaking with Glenn Grunwald, President, CEO of Canada Basketball. Glenn, I do want to get back to the deal specifically and some of the inner workings of it. But before we maybe do that, you bring such a unique perspective, Glenn, as you talked about, you know, working with Bart and Brian and so many others, people that have been here basically from the beginning, when we go back to when the Raptors first came into the league and the impact that the NBA and the Raptors had on the basketball community in this city, in this province, in this country. Just from your perspective, kind of looking, you know, wide lens, Glenn, what have you seen change? How much have you seen it change now over the course, of nearly 30 years now, just from the interest off the court, let alone on the court, and the cultivation of youth players, let alone professional players, just the way that it has just been such a boom since, you know, the early 90s?
Well, I start with this always, that basketball has had a great tradition and great people working in it for long before the Toronto Raptors arrived. But the Raptors served as a real catalyst for the growth and the popularity and the awareness of the sport. And that continued to grow. And as the Raptors continued to do well, we saw it peak in the 2 years ago when they won the NBA championship. But I can't imagine what this country would do if we were ever to win a gold medal in the Olympics. And that's what gets me excited. You know, our women's team is ranked fourth in the world. They are definitely a medal contender, and we're so excited about them. And our men's team is, as talented as anyone. So if we can get qualified for the Olympics this coming June in Victoria, I think we have an excellent chance to medal when we get out to Tokyo. So again, just an exciting time, and the number of people playing, it's crazy. Like the growth in our sport, the number of kids playing basketball, the number of girls playing basketball, it's really exciting. And, you know, one of the things that we found, we when we did our strategic planning that because of the popularity of the sport and so many people are playing, you know, we have shortages of key ingredients to keeping the sport growing is, you know, lack of facilities. You know, basketball has traditionally been a school-based sport, but it's evolving into both a club and a school-based sport. So more kids can play basketball, but the facilities are not as available. So we know we need to get more facilities available for people to play basketball. And referees, you know, everyone said we need more and better referees, and that's one of the things we're focused on. And then, of course, we have coaching education program that FIBA has ranked third in the world. And I think that's reflected in the growth of the number of players playing in college and university and professionally in the NBA, WNBA, and overseas. So lots on the go. But what we have here now is a major partner, a major corporation, a major broadcaster that's going to invest and work with us to grow the game. And that can only enhance what we've done so far. So it's just, like I said, a very exciting day, and we're really looking forward to partnering with Sportsnet as we continue to grow this game.
Glenn, it's funny listening to you talk, and when you started out saying that, you know, the Raptors were a catalyst, and I guess being a Canadian, there was always good basketball here. You could always find good players. You know, I look at there's a rich history, too. And I know at the board level, we have a lot of discussions going on, you know, around the Hall of Fame and, you know, honoring some of, you know, the great things in the past. But as I look forward, you know, we've got great players now. You talked about that tournament, the qualifying tournament out in BC to give Canada a men's team. Women's already locked up their spot, a chance to be in the Olympics. There's enough talent, Glenn, looking at what the guys did against the Virgin Islands. But in terms of the top talent, how difficult might it be at that point in June, particularly with the way the NBA season is going, to procure, to make sure some of our NBA guys are ready to go or if they can go for that tournament?
Well, it's, you know, there's some uncertainty now, obviously, because of COVID and the pandemic and the restrictions that are going to be established because of that. But we're going full guns ahead with Victoria. We don't know how many fans, if any, will be allowed in, but we're the local organizing committee out there has done a tremendous job. So they're prepared to have a full house, half house, quarter house, no house, and to host the game and make sure that it gives Canada the best chance to qualify. And, you know, we were teed up perfectly last summer, obviously, until COVID hit. We had our home court. We had all of our best players, all of our NBA players committed to play. And then, obviously, it got delayed a year. But, you know, we're still going to have the players. The players are still committed. The questions are, you know, who's going to be still in the playoffs and who's not, who's going to be out of the playoffs? So, you know, those are the things that'll develop over time. But, again, we have the commitment of the players, and we're very hopeful that we'll be like the other teams too. Like, you know, Greece is going to be out there. They've got one or two, one in particular, really good NBA player that may or may not be available for that game. So a lot of the teams will be in the same position as us. But I think what we've shown is that we have a depth of talent. We have players that are playing in Europe and the G League and elsewhere that are, you know, first-rate players that can compete at the FIBA level and do very well. So, again, we're excited not only about the quality of our talent, but the depth of it as well.
Speaking with Glenn Grunwald, President and CEO of Canada Basketball. Glenn, in the interest of fairness, I suppose, if that's even the right way to describe it, the what-if scenario, and I know we don't want to think that way, certainly you in your role, and just me as a fan and as a supporter of the team and country as well. I want to see the men there. The women have already done their job. They're there. They're sitting waiting. They're among the best of the best in the entire world right now. What if the men's team doesn't qualify? How much of a setback is that for the program, for the path that you thought you'd be on at this point with the men's team? Or is it really derailing things as you look forward then to the next World Championships, to the next Olympic Games? How much of a negative would it be if Canada ultimately is not competing in Tokyo?
Well, It's to me, it's about commitment. Like, if we have a commitment of our staff, of our players, of our supporters, of our corporate partners, you know, it's just, to me, it's a matter of time. So yeah, it will be a disappointment, and we want to be in the Olympics this year with our men to join the women. But if it doesn't happen, we're still going to be committed, and we're still going to have good players, and we're still going to have good coaches, and with the help of corporations like Sportsnet and Nike and others that have been with us for a long time, and some key donors that have helped us, and certainly we need some more, and that's what the Sportsnet deal is going to help. We're gonna keep at it, and we're gonna get there, and it's just a matter of us, you know, like I said, being in the, being there when we're ready to play, and we would have. I was so excited about this past summer, but now we're you know, reorganizing, and we're ready to go for this summer to get qualified. If it doesn't happen, that's not going to change our commitment. It's not going to change the fact that we have really good players and a lot of them. So to me, it's just a matter of time as long as we stay committed.
Glenn, you talked about it earlier. I just want to kind of revisit it as you came up here. You know, you come to Canada as an American, and you know what the basketball is like where, I mean, especially where you are in Indiana, where it's religion. Just talk about the growth of that in Canada, because, you know, we're seeing that now. We're seeing how well received everything is at the provincial levels in their national championships, and how many different divisions, you know, like I know when my kids were young, we were in the F division, but it was, you know, it was competition for my kids at their level. So just talk about the growth, Glenn, and what you've seen since you've come to Canada.
Well, just the number of people playing has increased dramatically, and the appreciation for the game, that it is, you know, the most diverse sport in Canada, and that it is the most popular sport amongst newcomers to Canada. And we really see our sport as being a real nation builder, a sport that can bring communities together for the joy of sport and competition and exercise. And we've seen that, like I said, we've seen the sport evolve from being primarily a school-based sport to a club-based sport. And I think that's a good thing, that more kids get to play basketball now. They get to play in their high school team. They get to play in a club team. The best can go to prep schools, either here or in the United States or elsewhere. So we're seeing just the benefits of the basketball infrastructure growing. And we're trying to make sure that we provide the education and the information and the training so that everyone that participates has a safe and enjoyable experience, whether that's a player or a family or a parent or a coach or, in particular, a referee. You know, we, like I said, we need to treat referees well and respect what they do, because without referees, there aren't any games. So, again, it's a matter of us making sure that we have the resources available to meet the demand. And whether that's facilities or coaches or referees, we're going to work hard to make sure that happens.
Speaking with Glenn Grunwald, President and CEO of Canada Basketball. Glenn, one of the things you just touched on a little bit there, talking about you know, school teams and youth leagues and prep schools, club teams, et cetera. Last week, we had on Michael Downey, the president of Tennis Canada, and I promise this is not meant as a cheap plug, although it's, you know, involving Rogers and another partnership. But Tennis Canada announced a partnership with Rogers where they're going to build hundreds of tennis courts and many bubbled courts across the country, so that kids can continue to play the game and learn the game and train, and even young athletes that maybe stay here, Glenn, to train instead of having to go stateside, so that they can play year round. Not to divert too much off this partnership and this announcement today, but to make the game that much more accessible. Yeah, there's some courts on, you know, at local playgrounds. A lot of them are in rough shape and bent and rusted out rims and without mesh, or rims hanging off brick walls instead of actual courts. But the ability to play year-round as well, and not just have to buy those cheap gloves from the dollar store and cut the fingertips off to play outside in the freezing cold. You know, like to be able to play inside in the winter. And how much is that of importance to you, to Canada Basketball, trying to find a way to maybe not only raise money for the teams and for the program, but for the sport itself, to build some of these facilities to be able to make sure that the youth can play at any skill level if they want to play?
Well, it's a great point. I think, you know, sport infrastructure is lacking a little bit. And unlike a lot of other national sport organizations in Canada, we don't have a national training center. We don't have a place that we can call our own where we can host camps and clinics and summer camps and events, games. So, you know, we're endeavoring to try and do that. It's an important part of our strategy. And if you talk to any club basketball administrator or coach, they will tell you that one of the biggest problems they have is finding the time to practice and to play games. And so, you know, I know there's been, you know, a lot of talk about building more facilities, and that's one of our objectives. We're trying to get more facilities both here in the GTA, but also across the country. So again, we're hopeful that, you know, we can continue to get the attention of both private investors and government to again, build more facilities so that we can meet the demand and continue to help build our nation.